The Massachusetts Division of Fisheries and Wildlife has a new director. Mark Tisa has been at Mass Wildlife for 31 years and for the last 3 years was deputy director. Tisa heads an agency that most people in Massachusetts don't have much contact with unless they're purchasing a hunting or fishing license. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill spoke with Tisa.
I think it's an opportunity to many of us, not all of us, but many of us, aspire to in our profession. It gives you an opportunity to really implement your visions and priorities in the agency. So it's that great opportunity to finally, like I said, implement your vision, your priorities, the direction that you'd like to see the agency go.
And so what are your visions and priorities?
Sure. My vision, or maybe it might be more accurately to say it's a mission statement, but I want to make sure that people know that we're about all wildlife here at the Division of Fisheries and Wildlife. You know, not just hunted species, not just species that are angled for, but we're about all wildlife. Plants, animals, insects. So we're about everything. And I don't think a lot of people realize that we do take care of all the wildlife in the Commonwealth for everybody.
What's the wildlife population like in the Commonwealth right now? Are there species that we should be concerned about because of a dwindling population?
Well, yeah, I certainly don't want to get a mixed message there, but our wildlife, many of our species, have really rebounded in the Commonwealth. If you look at, for example, white-tailed deer, bald eagle, black bears, wild turkey, are doing tremendous in the state. But we do have species of special concern that we have to pay very careful attention to, that we don't lose those. We actually have over 400 listed species in the state. They range from plants to mammals to insects. So there's a whole host out there. And we're working very hard in terms of working with private landowners, maintaining habitats in which are important to those species that are of special concern to us. So we're doing a lot.
Is there one particular species that you'd like to talk about that is perhaps of special concern?
No, because I think that they're all important, and I really wouldn't single out one over another. Like I said, it's just that it ranges the gamut, and I don't think many people realize it, but it goes from plants to insects to mammals to fish to birds. So there's a whole host of species out there.
I know, more than a generation ago, there was an effort, a successful effort made to reintroduce the bald eagle population in Massachusetts.
Right. Right.
A couple of years back, there was an unsuccessful effort made to introduce the timber rattlesnake, and we won't go over that ground. But is there anything on the horizon in terms of any effort to try to reintroduce an endangered species into the state?
Well, we're actually, like I said, there's nothing right now that's missing that we're trying to reintroduce. What we're trying to do is secure the population stability of the species that we have here in the state. So we've been very successful on a number of fronts. If you look at, like, for example, the peregrine falcon is a good example. The piping plover, we've made great progress and success on. A number of our coastal shorebirds, the roseate tern. So we have a number of successes, and we just need to be ever vigilant in working to protect those populations. I mean, one of the greatest challenges that we face here in the Commonwealth, and not only in the Commonwealth, but around the nation in terms of conservation biology, is how we fund, right, the management and protection of these species. You know, our traditional funding source has actually been from people who purchase hunting, fishing, and trapping licenses. But we're all at a point, and I was just at a regional directors meeting from directors all from around the Northeast, that it's a challenge because we can no longer meet our demands out there with that funding source that we've relied upon in the past, which is just the sale of hunting, fishing, and trapping licenses.
Is that because the demand for hunting and fishing and trapping licenses is down?
It's down in many instances, but also in terms of the cost of the work involved in maintaining this entire suite of species. It's just you literally just can't afford, right, all the projects and work that need to be done on that sole source of funding, which is the sale of, you know, hunting and fishing licenses. And like I said, it's a problem nationally. It's not just within the Commonwealth. There's some very, very important legislation that has been introduced in Congress, bipartisan legislation on both sides of the House and Senate. It's called the Recovering America's Wildlife Act. And we're hoping that that legislation will actually come out the other end of the pipeline. It'll provide over $1 billion to agencies across the country to meet those unmet funding needs for all our conservation species. So it's an important issue.
Massachusetts has, if I'm not mistaken, Massachusetts has a checkoff on its income tax form.
Yes.
As well, that you can. Do you get much money from that? Do many people check that to give money to Mass Fish and Wildlife?
We're in the range of somewhere between $200,000 to $250,000 on that checkoff.
Let me ask you the question: Is wild animal contact with people in densely populated areas of the state more of a problem now than it used to be, or is it just because every time a turkey walks across somebody's yard, they put it on Instagram, that it seems like these instances are more prevalent?
Yeah, well, without a doubt, you know, in our urban areas, particularly like east of 495. Contact with interactions with wildlife in the public is becoming an increasing issue out there for us. And a lot of that is driven by the fact that a lot of land is closed to hunting. So these closed areas basically serve as refuges, if you will, sanctuaries for wildlife. And the populations grow unchecked, and then that really at the heart of just about all wildlife problems where you have conflicts with the public, often the driving factor behind that is food. Either you know, folks intentionally feeding wildlife, or in accidental type situations where people leave out rubbish, things like that. But it always comes down to the food, whether it's turkeys, black bear, et cetera. It always comes down to a food issue. And people attracting wildlife to the backyards and the neighbors and things like that. So it's really two-pronged issue.
So what advice do you give people to first off, to avoid contact with wild animals, and second off, if they do have an encounter with a wild animal, what should they do?
Yeah. Well, it just depends on the situation. The advice is the best thing to do is not be feeding wildlife, right? Not be feeding. And I know, and it's an important to a lot of people that want to have bird feeders out there. But on the other hand, you know, you're attracting other wildlife species. It can be turkeys. It can be black bear. So you need to be aware of that. And then often, you know, folks that do care about the wildlife, you're actually putting the wildlife in harm by doing those actions, because, you know, if it ultimately ends to the animal being euthanized because it comes in contact or a threat to the public, I'm sure that most people don't want to see that happen, and the best way to avoid that is not by feeding the wildlife.
And if you do have an encounter, though, what advice should you give people?
Well, it just depends. Like I said, you know, a turkey, you know, walking across someone's yard is certainly not a public safety matter. You know, if you have a black bear out on your porch, you may not want to notify the EPOs. Obviously, you need to keep your pets in. You don't want to go out there and while the bear's out on your porch. I think it's just a lot of common sense things. And again, if there's not a food source out there and a wild animal walks through your yard, well, it's probably not going to be a regular occurrence. But if there's food out there and there's a food source, you're going to be habituating that animal to your property, and that's where you start to get into problems.
Now, your agency does a lot of restocking of freshwater fish across the state,
yes.
Correct? Talk a little bit about that program, if you would, please.
Sure. Well, we have a cold water fish program, primarily trout and salmon, and we put out between 400 and 450,000 pounds of trout in waters across the state to augment our natural populations and to provide recreational opportunity for folks. The way our program is now, no matter where you live in the Commonwealth, you do not have to drive far to find fishing opportunities in the state. We have an excellent program, one of the best programs in the country. We do a spring stocking, and we do a stocking in the fall as well. So we're actually, when I say spring stocking, we're actually stocking throughout the spring, and then we stock again in late September, early October. But virtually, fishing is in reach for about everyone, no matter where you live in the Commonwealth.
And it remains popular, correct, fishing?
Very popular, yes, very popular.
And you operate fish hatcheries, including a few out here in western Massachusetts, right? There's one
right.
In Palmer, and is it Sunderland is the other one?
We have, there's the McLaughlin Fish Hatchery in Belchertown, which is our largest facility. We generate almost half our production out of the McLaughlin facility in Belchertown. And then we have a facility in Sunderland, another facility in Montague. We have the Palmer facility, which does our landlocked salmon and broodstock for eggs. And then our final facility is down in Sandwich.
And I don't know, a few years back, the agency participated in the effort to restock the Atlantic salmon.
Yes.
And are there other efforts underway to try to bring back dwindling fish species?
Yeah. You know, the salmon program, that was unsuccessful, but we're working on it. A number of other species, including the American shad, alewives, eels. Those are all programs that we're actively involved in, cooperating with our neighboring states in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as well. So, yes, we are engaged in fish restoration programs as well.
Anything else you'd like folks to know about the work of the Massachusetts Division of Fisheries and Wildlife?
Well, I'm just trying to think, Paul. Like I said, I really think is important is that people know that we're about all wildlife. If I was to try to categorize it, I'd say that certainly, you know, our active anglers and hunters know what we're all about here. And then I think you have other categories of our conservation partners like Audubon, trustees of the reservation, the Nature Conservancy that are also aware of what we're about. But I think there are all kinds of folks out there in the Commonwealth that have no idea that we even exist or what we do. And it is certainly my mission to try to get out that word that we're about all wildlife. So whether you are an angler or a hunter or just someone who enjoys observing wildlife, whether it's on a hike or you're a bird watcher, I'd like to get the word out that that's what we're all about here, and we're working for everyone out there.